Psalms 23 tonight. Psalms 23, I told you we'd be back there again. Psalms 23, I'm going to continue on with the series we've been preaching on The Lord is My Shepherd, and we've gone through every one of the verses so far down. This evening we'll be closing out verse number 4. We've gone phrase by phrase, and we've covered a lot of ground. We've even got some in between the phrases there. I think this is the 9th message in the series. And we've learned a lot. I've learned a lot personally. The Lord's helped me studying this. And I hope you've enjoyed it. Hope you've learned some out of it. The Lord's blessed you through it and challenged you maybe at different times. But anyway, I hope I can be an encouragement to you tonight and pass along what the Lord's given to me. Psalms 23, says in verse number 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in the green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Lord, thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for all you've done for us. Thank you for blessing us. Lord, help me now as I preach, bring words to say. In Jesus' name, amen. I also hope our technology works. We keep having trouble with it, cutting in and out. I think we may have it worked out tonight, so hopefully it works there. If it doesn't, I apologize. We'll keep working on it. Anyway, I just want to first say thank you for all those that were here, able to come this morning. I know I mentioned that before, but thank you for coming. I know it's different and it's weird, but I'm glad that we had the opportunity to at least do what we did. We're going to do our best to be able to abide by these health alerts that are coming out, but we're going to do everything we can to take every liberty we have to meet and have service and come together as a church family. That's what we're supposed to be doing scripturally. And I understand the different guidelines and taking care of our health. And I'm not arguing about those things within reason. But I'm going to do everything we can to take advantage of the liberties we have to meet together as a church family. So I want to thank you this morning for coming. It's encouraging to me. I do appreciate it. I'm ready to get back to normal life again. I know you are. Ready to get back to normal service again. I enjoyed seeing people this morning, but still couldn't shake their hand, couldn't talk to them much. I'm ready for it to get back to normal. I know you are. But anyway, for now, we're best we can to keep on preaching. I told you this morning we'll be back in Psalms 23 tonight. It's going to be there now. Hopefully we can keep my daughter back there quiet so you might can hear something besides her. We'll finish out verse number 4 tonight. I thought about saving this one for next Sunday, but I feel the Lord would have me go ahead and preach it, so that's what I'm going to do. I'm excited about the next phrase to come up next Sunday morning, if the Lord allows. It doesn't change my mind. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. It's good stuff there. It's deep. There's a lot there. And hopefully get to preach that next Sunday. But tonight, we're going to finish out verse number 4 and cover that last phrase there. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I'm not going to spend too much time on review tonight. I think we all know where we've been. We've done it over and over again. But tonight, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. What does that mean? How is a rod, a stick, and a staff, another stick, comforting to a sheep? What are those representative? How can that, every time in this passage, these different things that David talks about as a sheep is related to us Christians. How does a rod and a staff relate to us Christians? What does it have to do with us? I told you last message that verse number 4, the shepherd and the sheep were leaving the home pasture. Up to verse number 3, it's like the sheep was talking through the fence to another sheep. He's talking to third person now. Verse number 4 through the end, he's talking directly to the shepherd. You can find that there through those different pronouns. I will fear no evil. Thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff. We talked about that. And so we talked about the valley of the shadow of death, how they're walking through the valley to get to the top of the mountain, how they had to walk through the valley. Well, David, being the shepherd himself, the end of verse number 4 here brings to light those things a shepherd would have with him on that journey they're going through the wilderness. And every time a shepherd goes on a journey, he's going to have essential tools with him. David is going to bring those out here in verse number 4. Sorry, that cough drop. Can't talk. Shepherds today, at least in the United States, while they're out in the countryside with their sheep, they don't take much with them. Everything they have to carry on their backs, of course. So they take the bare essentials, obviously. Two things will be essential with a shepherd. Nowadays, it would be a rifle or some sort of gun, and then a small, slender staff with a hook on the end. In the Middle East and back in the Bible days, that would be a rod and a staff. Obviously, no rifles in. This rod that David speaks of here, the rod itself, it's a stout stick, very short, very hard stick, often with a large knot on the end of it. Shepherd boys, when they are young, they will cut their own rod and they'll carve it and they'll shave it to fit perfectly in their hand. It's there specific to each shepherd. One author spoke about watching some of the young shepherd boys in the Middle East. They would have competitions with these rods. They have their own personal rods. They would throw them and knock things down at target practice competitions with their rods. These rods are for the shepherd. It becomes a natural extension of their arm, the right arm usually, the right-handed. They can throw it accurately. They can hit with it. It is their weapon. It's the extension of them. It's what they've used for security. It's their weapon. They may not have a rifle or a handgun, but this rod is as close in accuracy as the average shooter. They know their rod. It's their personal rod. David says, "The Lord, your rod and your staff, they comfort me." I'm going to break us up into two parts here. Number one, we're going to look at the rod. Number two, the staff. There's two separate things, and see what we can learn about these and why there's such a comfort to David here. Number one, the rod. What's so special about this rod? I told you a little bit about it and how it's shaped and what it's used for. Why is a stick a comfort to a sheep? Doesn't make much sense. Well, it represents something. Number one, this rod is a picture, it's a sign of power. I think it was Theodore Roosevelt that said, "Speak softly and carry a big stick." The rod is a sign of power. A big stick. Someone with a rod demands respect. Why do bank robbers use guns? Because the guns demand respect. They may not use it. They may not plan on using it. But it demands respect. The same goes for police officers. Hopefully, they don't intend on having to use their guns. That's the last thing they want to do is have to use a gun. It demands respect. First off, the rod is a comfort to the sheep because the sheep knows his shepherd is in control when he sees the rod. It has authority. It demands power. It demands respect. The sheep knows that no matter what happens in the flock, the shepherd can handle it. No matter if the enemy is within or the enemy is without, my shepherd has his rod. He's in control. He demands authority. He's in control. Exodus 4:2, Moses had a rod. And the Lord said to him, "What is that in thy hand?" And like Moses said, "A rod." Like the Lord doesn't know that. Verse number 3, he said, "Cast it on the ground." He cast it on the ground. It became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. Many times we talk about Moses' staff. It was not his staff that did all these powerful things. It was God that did it in it. But it was the rod. It was not the staff. It was the rod. The rod is a sign of power. Those are two different things. Staff and rod. Often we get those confused. Those are two separate tools used by a shepherd. It was Moses' rod that changed into a serpent. It was Aaron's rod that turned a snake in front of Moses. In front of Pharaoh. I'm sorry. It was Moses' rod that smote the rock and the water came out twice there. It was Moses' rod that he held up to spread, open up the Red Sea. It's what got him to hold up his rod. Over and over again, Israel could find comfort when Moses held the rod. We can rest assured we can find comfort today because there is power and authority in our shepherd. When he says, "Thus saith Lord," there's power behind it. He has authority. He has the power. He has the rod. We can find comfort in our shepherd because he's all powerful. He is in control. He's in charge. No matter the enemy, our shepherd can handle it. You can find comfort in the rod and the staff because the shepherd's in control. He has the authority. Number two, not only a sign of power, it's a sign of discipline. This same rod used for power was more often than not used for discipline for the sheep themselves. This rod was used for disciplining sheep. If a sheep started to wander, or if it were getting too close to a cliff, or some poisonous weed or something that's going to hurt the sheep, that skilled shepherd could hurl that rod straight at the sheep, and hit the sheep and direct him back into the flock just with one fling of the rod. This took skill, it took practice. The shepherds were accurate. The rod was used for discipline. This Bible we hold, this picture of the rod here, the rod is a picture of the Bible here, this rod of power, how often when we go astray, does it come whirling up behind us and whipping us in the back of the head, whipping us into shape? You ever go to say something in your person, you personally ever go to say something or do something, a verse of scripture will pop into your mind and warn you from doing that certain thing. Am I the only one that does that? I hope not anyway. You know what that is? That's the rod, the shepherd flinging the rod at you and directing you back into the flock again, keeping you out of trouble, keeping you out of harm's way. There's a song we used to sing when I was younger, talking about this blessed old book that I hold in my hand. The last part says, "Sin kept me from it, now it keeps me from sin." This word of God will clean you up. It'll discipline you. Sometimes it'll take you to the woodshed and straighten you out. This rod is used for discipline. We can find comfort because we know the Lord's in control. We can find comfort because we know the Lord knows right from wrong. He can teach us right from wrong. It may not be fun at the time. I got a lot of whoopings as a child. Believe me, you can ask my parents. I got a lot of them. I deserve most of them. I won't say I'm not going to admit to that. Anyway, I'm glad I didn't like him at the time. I'm thankful for him now. It taught me some things. We can find comfort in the discipline. Find comfort that he taught us right from wrong. The sheep can find comfort in the discipline of the rod. Not only used for power, it's not a power and for discipline. The rod is used to examine those sheep or to count the sheep. This rod is used to examine the sheep, to clean them up at times. You ever heard in the Old Testament it's referred to as the sheep passing under the rod? You may have heard that before. The shepherd will use his rod to count the sheep. Ezekiel 20:37 talks about this. And he says, I will cause you to pass under the rod, and I will bring you into the bond of the covenant. The shepherd will use his rod to block the entrance to a corral, the exit to a corral. And he'll lift up his rod and let one sheep through and put his rod back down. They would pass under the rod, and he'd be able to count his sheep, make sure they're all present and accounted for, make sure they're all safe. That's what it means to pass under the rod. Use the rod to keep track of his sheep. Each sheep that would pass under the rod would then afterwards be carefully examined and checked over to make sure it was still safe and healthy. Because of a sheep's long wool, often problems with the skin or bugs can be overlooked because they're hidden underneath that thick wool. Even the animal shows in different places. A sickly sheep can have its wool cut and trimmed in such a way to make it look like a healthy, prized sheep and hide those defects. A careful judge, wise judge, will take his rod and will separate that wool, pull the wool back, and look down underneath that wool, look deep at the skin of the sheep to check it over, check for bugs and check for different diseases and problems with the sheep. They use the rod to examine the condition of the sheep underneath the surface. It's what the shepherd does when the sheep passes under the rod. He takes time. He uses the rod to pull back that fleece, to pull back that wool, and look at the sheep itself. We talked about what that wool is in the scriptures. Picture the flesh, picture of old sin nature. This rod comforts the sheep because it knows the shepherd's going to carefully examine him, get up close and make sure that everything's okay. The rod is going to pull back the wool. The shepherd will not have the wool put over his eyes. That's what that phrase means. He's going to pull it back with that rod and make sure the sheep is clean and spotless and nothing unpure or damaging underneath that wool. If you'll open your heart, if you'll submit to the authority of our rod that we have here, the Word of God, it will search you out. It will dig down deep. It will pull back that old flesh. And that wool, as picture of the flesh talked about that, it will pull it all back, expose those problems, help us to clean them up and to fix them. It's not something the sheep need to run away from. It's not something we need to hide from, although we often do try to hide from it. It's there for our benefit. The shepherd does it for the sheep's benefit. The great shepherd has our best interest at heart. It might not be pleasant at the time, but he just wants you to be as clean as you can possibly be, to be spiritually healthy. That's all the shepherd wants. The sheep can find comfort in the rod because it has power. It can find comfort because of the discipline. And they can find comfort because the rod is going to clean them up. It's going to keep them safe. Keep them from those little parasites. I told you those parasites before, back in verse number 2. It makes me lie down. Use that rod to pull it back and check for those parasites. We can find comfort in the rod. Not only because of all those different things, the power and the discipline and the examination, but the protection. It's the one most of us probably think of. You think of the rod. This shepherd's rod is used for protection, personal protection, protection from outside predators that may come in. This is the shepherd's defense. This is what puts the shepherd at the top of the food chain. It's most likely what allowed David to kill that lion and that bear. Back when we were first married, Natalie, may not agree with this, didn't quite know what to think of me having a gun with me all the time. She wasn't scared of it, I don't guess, but you don't understand the point of it, I guess. Over time, she became more and more okay with it, and she eventually got to the point where she expected it to be there. I remember being in different places in public and questionable places with questionable people, not here, back in North Carolina, but I remember her asking me at different times, you have your gun with you, don't you? And what happened? I was trying to find comfort in my rod. Can I remind you this morning, our shepherd has much more power than some little handgun. He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He owns the universe. He created it. It's his. He's in control. Nothing can do anything without his permission. He is in total, complete control. No enemy could take it unless he went through Jesus Christ first. Can I remind you, if you're saved tonight, trouble may come, sickness may come, this virus may come and it may go, but no enemy can snatch you out of his hands. Job lost his family, his friends, his wealth. He lost it all in the world's perspective. The devil couldn't have him. God turned around and blessed Job more than he ever was before. And I can promise you he's in heaven today giving glory to the Lord as we speak right now. The devil could put Job through some stuff because God allowed it, but he still belongs to the Lord. You can't snatch him out of his hand. It says in John 10:28, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Here shall any man pluck them out of my hand." We are safe with the shepherd. He's in control. He can protect us. That rod will protect us. We can find comfort in knowing that God is in control. He's in control of every situation. He's on the throne. The rod has power. The rod is for our protection to watch over us, keep the enemies at bay. It's there to protect us. We can find comfort in the rod because of the authority of it, because of the discipline of it, because of the examination of it, because of protection from it. Number two, not only the rod, we see the staff. And get done with this, we'll be done. Very simple and quick. Number two, the staff. The staff symbolizes the shepherd more than anything else. You see a picture of a shepherd. How do you know it's a shepherd? Usually either by the sheep that he has with him or the fact he's holding a staff. You see a picture of a shepherd without a staff, you just say he's dressing weird. From the Bible times, he's identifiable by his staff. No other profession has it. You don't see cowboys on their horses with a long staff sticking off the back of the horse. Why is that? Because it's useless to them. But for the shepherd, it's an essential tool. The rod symbolizes the power, that discipline, that protection. It's powerful. It's strong. It's a picture of the Word of God. This staff, however, is different. The staff is long and slender, has a hook on one end of it. It's not used for anything except for sheep. The rod is used for enemies. The rod is used to change the mind of the sheep that don't want to obey. This rod is used for the enemies and those in the sheep, the ones that don't want to obey, and the good ones. It blesses and it curses. But that staff, that's only for the sheep. It's not used for anything else. The shepherd's not going to fling the staff at a wolf that's trying to attack a sheep. He's going to fling the rod. That staff is only used for the protection of those sheep, to take care of the sheep. That staff is a picture of the Holy Spirit. It's a picture of comfort. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. This staff is a picture of the Comforter himself, the Holy Spirit of God. The rod pictures power and authority. The staff pictures long-suffering and mercy and grace. You never see a shepherd without a staff. They work together. Same with Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. They work together. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, these three are one, it says in the Scriptures. They work together. The shepherd is always found with the staff. Jesus is always working alongside the Holy Spirit. They are together, working together. So what does a shepherd use a staff for? Let's look at how can that relate to us. How is it, what do you mean is the Holy Spirit? What are you talking about? Well, let's look and see. What is a staff used for? We saw what a rod's used for. What's a staff used for? Number one, a shepherd will use a staff to draw the sheep together. The first thing a shepherd may use the staff for is to draw sheep closer, to pick them up, to build relationships. When a lamb is born, if it gets too far away from his mother, the shepherd will come along and take the hook end of that staff, and he'll gently pick up the lamb and place it next to his mother again. He doesn't want to bend down and pick up the sheep because then he'll pick up the lamb, because his scent will be on the lamb and the mother will reject it. So he takes that staff, he picks up the lamb and places it next to his mother. In the same way, oftentimes the shepherd, our heavenly shepherd, will use that staff to grab a hold of a wayward sheep and bring close to these earthly shepherds. Use the staff to take a hold of a wayward sheep and bring him close to the shepherd. They use that staff to reach out and grab a hold of a sheep that may be on the outskirts and bring him closer to the shepherd. In our Christian life, we find the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, as he is called, drawing people together, also drawing people to himself. How do you think a bunch of people from Craig, Alaska, all different backgrounds we have here in New Hope Baptist Church, all different places we've come from, all different opinions on everyday different things, how would we join together and call ourselves a church family? How does that make sense in any other way? It doesn't. How does this family fit together? On the outside, some will probably call us dysfunctional. On the inside, sometimes we are dysfunctional. Don't tell anybody I said that. But we are a family, a church family. How does that happen? How can you take so many different people with so many different backgrounds and put them together in one building, one organization, and call it a church family? How can you do that? The shepherd takes that staff and the Holy Spirit, and he picks us up and he puts us next to the other sheep. He joins us together. He calls relationships to build. A church without the presence of the Holy Spirit, I said 1,000 times before, a church of the presence of the Holy Spirit, a dead church. We are wasting our time. But if He is present, there's no telling the work He can do with us. No telling what He can do with the church family that the Holy Spirit has put in place together with that staff. Not only that, but He takes that staff and shepherd and He pulls us into Him. Not only to each other, but into Him. He draws us in. He sees us getting out there by the wayside and something will be said or something will get your attention. The Holy Spirit, that staff, will draw you right next to the shepherd again. Can I say this virus stuff is distracting? I've had to stop looking at a lot of news stories because many of them are just fear-mongering, and it drives me insane. It makes me mad, to be honest with you. I have to put it down. The Lord got my attention yesterday. I was very upset about all the different things going on with that, and He drew me in while I was studying and reminded me what it's all about. And now He's still on the throne. It's going to be okay. Uses the staff, the Holy Spirit, to draw Him back closer to the shepherd again. I'm thankful for the staff. It's a comfort to this old sheep. It's comfort to the sheep. The shepherd used the staff to draw the sheep together. Shepherd used the staff to draw the sheep to Himself. I'm thankful for the Holy Spirit. Not only used to draw sheep together, this staff is used to guide the sheep. A shepherd many times uses a staff to guide you, point them in the right direction. If they're on a narrow trail or coming to a crossroads, he will take that staff and not going to beat the sheep beside the head with it, but he'll take the staff and gently lay it beside the sheep and gently push and guide the sheep with that staff. The staff is used to guide the sheep in the right direction. I read from one shepherd author about how sometimes that shepherd will just rest his staff on the side of a sheep. Sheep will stay close. If he does that, sheep will stay close up against it, the staff, and he'll walk right alongside with that shepherd as long as that staff is touching that sheep. It says almost as if they're walking hand in hand, the shepherd and the sheep, down the trail, right up beside the shepherd, holding on to the Holy Spirit of God, that staff, over and over again. How many times does our shepherd send that comforter just to show us the way? Over and over again in my own life, I said, okay, Lord, which way do I go now? I don't know which decision to make. I don't know which choice to take. How do I do this? Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do now? Lord, I don't understand. I've got too many options. Which way do I need to go? I don't like options in life. Like, be plain and easy. Which way do you want me to go, Lord? And it never fails. The shepherd will lay that staff up against me and gently guide me in the right direction. Every time I ask for it, he's there to guide me. Every time. If we'll just slow down and look for that staff, listen to that still small voice, he will guide us in the right direction. Sometimes it feels as if he is walking alongside of us, hand in hand at times. Oftentimes it feels as if we're all alone. We have to cry out and ask the shepherd to draw us back in again, to guide us again. That's that long-suffering and patient staff is always there every time. That rod and that staff, they comfort me. This Christian life is more than just following a bunch of doctrines and beliefs. And those are absolutely, please don't get me wrong, those are absolutely important. They're necessary. We have to have doctrines. I think you know how I feel about that. It's important. It's very important. But there's more to it than that. If you're saved this evening, we get to experience what it's like to have a close, intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit. We get to have comfort when we need it. We have a God when we need it. He is always there when we need Him. Can you imagine walking through this life without the shepherd, without the staff? I thank God I was saved as a young boy. But because of that, I'm glad for it. I've never experienced what it's like to go through a real adult life and trials without the Holy Spirit. I don't know what that's like. I can't understand that. I don't know how people would do it without the Holy Spirit. I depend too much on Him. All the time, everyday decisions, I'm looking, leaning on that staff, looking for that staff. Okay, Lord, what should I do here? And how do I say this properly? Or what stance should I take over here, Lord? What should I say? What should my response be over here to this person? What choice should I make over here? I'm thankful for the guiding of that staff. I think if the staff draws me in, and I'm thankful it guides me and points in the right direction, because I can tell you, I'm not smart enough to make the decisions on my own. I need the help of the Holy Spirit. I'm not that wise or that spiritual. I need the help. I'm thankful for the staff that's there to guide us. Not only is the staff used for guiding and drawing, it's used for rescuing. It's the one you've probably heard of before. The shepherd will take the hook on the end of that staff, and he can reach down in the ravine or in the water, the cleft of the rock or in the briars, and he can lift that sheep up to safety. How many times do we not listen to the guiding of that staff? We'll go down the wrong path, and we'll ignore the signs that the road is out every time, and we think we know better. Before we know it, we're stuck, and we need rescuing, just like an old sheep stuck, can't get out, needs rescue. When I was 16, my parents helped me get a truck, 87 F-150. It was four-wheel drive, and that was probably the dumbest things for me to ever have a four-wheel drive truck. Up here, you see them everywhere. It's necessary here. Back then, back where I'm from, it's not necessary. Those that do have them, especially young, dumb teenagers like me, usually end up getting in trouble with them, and I did many times. I remember coming home from work one afternoon in that truck, and Allie's still mad about this. I had been mudding, going out and riding the mud in this place a few times before, and had built up my confidence, a stupid, young, 16-year-old confidence. Some of you parents know what that's like. And I decided I would try the deeper mud hole. And I'm basically invincible in that truck, I thought. What could be the problem? So I stuck it in the four-load, and I took off through that hole, and before I knew it, I was high-centered on a big rut, and kind of found out under the water, the deep water, there was ruts much bigger than I realized, left by much bigger trucks than I realized I'd ever been through there before. I tried probably an hour to get out of there, and I went and found a big log and rolled it over there and stuffed it underneath the tire. And I got back in the truck and tried to drive out of there, and I saw the log float past the truck. Ended up having to call my dad at work, and he had to leave work and come pull me out with his truck. It was so bad I never got all the mud out of that truck. If you can find it today, it probably still has mud under the hood and in the doors. And honest truth, I got home, there's a dead fish in the back of the truck. That's how deep the water was. I got a picture to prove it. What's my point? Oftentimes in this life, we get pretty confident, stupid confident. I don't know if I'm allowed to say it on Facebook or not, but I did. Often cocky, and we think we're in control. We think we have it under control. We say, Lord, I know I can't see the bottom of that mud hole, but I'm sure I'll be okay. I'm pretty much invincible. I'm sure I'll be fine. It'll be fun. It'll be okay. Before we know it, we're high-centered, and we're calling and begging for help. I'm thankful in those times. That's a silly description, illustration. I'm thankful in those times we have a long-suffering and a patient Holy Spirit that will reach down and scoop us up out of that trouble and that sin and that heartache, and will brush us off, and he'll place us back in the flock of God. Even though it's our fault, even though it's our mistake, and it's the reason we're in that hole, I'm thankful for the Holy Spirit, the staff, and the shepherd that will reach down and pick us up and put us back in the flock again. Is that you this evening? You've fallen off the trail. You try going your own way. You've made some mistakes you can't get it back out of on your own. I'm thankful that the staff is there to rescue us. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. What a comfort it is to know that he is our shepherd. We have a great shepherd. He has a rod, and he has the word of God and the staff. He has the Holy Spirit. He has all the necessary tools to take care of us and to lead us and guide us in this life. Through the valley shadow of death, he has every tool he needs in that valley. Through any mountaintop, in the face of the enemies, our shepherd is prepared for anything you may face. I don't know about you, but the rod and the staff of God, they comfort me. I'm glad in times like these we can look to the shepherd. I'm glad in the hard times we can look for the answers. We have the answers. We have the rod. We have that power. We can see his authority. I don't know what the future, even the near future, holds for us here. Religious liberties are being trampled on in the South in many places, especially even today. I saw some of those this afternoon. I don't know what our future holds, but I know who holds the future. And I got to find comfort in the shepherd, because he knows he's in control. He has a rod. He has the authority. He has to protect. He's going to protect us, watch over us, and inspect us, and discipline us at times. He has a staff that patient, long-suffering, Holy Spirit of God to reach down and rescue us and brush us off and take care of us and put us back in the flock of God again. What a great shepherd he really is. I'm thankful for the rod and the staff tonight. David says, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I'm thankful for him tonight.